Good evening. In the name and spirit of Jesus Christ, I welcome you all to this service of worship, celebrating Christmas Eve here at the Congregational Church of Amherst, United Church of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on your life's journey, you are welcome here. Today is the most joyous day in our worship calendar as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. The incarnation, the coming of God into this world in human form, and the coming of God's light into this world that has been joyously awaiting it. Now, this is the good news, that God so loves our world that God chose to become one of us in the most humble and least expected way. Born as a tiny and vulnerable baby into a world in great need of his love and grace. So this evening we will hear the familiar Christmas story told once again in a service of lessons and carols, in prayer and reflection, in darkness and in light, in word and in song, and in the coming together of this community. So let us be together now with the hopeful joy of Christmas in our hearts, and let us be together in the spirit of worship.
Please rise in body or in spirit and join me in the call to worship. We wait in the night,
in the hush that only stars can hold.
We wait in the night,
filled with anticipation of what midnight shall bring.
We wait in the night,
with our hearts beating in rhythm with the birth of hope.
We hold our collective breaths,
with the angelic host as they clutch their restless alleluias.
For God is on the way.
The mother is laboring.
The father is pacing.
The stable is readying.
The light is sliding.
And the promise is breaking through.
We wait in longing for midnight,
in expectation of good news.
We wait together,
and find we have moved to the edge of our seats.
Our wait is now over,
for the word has been born among us.
Thank you. peace, joy, and love. During the four Sundays of Advent, we light four candles representing the four promises offered to us by God, and all of them manifest in this one candle that we light tonight, the Christ candle.
In Christ we find hope and transformation, empowering us to make our own unique contributions to the world. In Christ we find light and life and the courage to be like him, answering his call and following in his footsteps.
A reading from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world.
Please join me now in the prayer of invocation and the Lord's Prayer. God of holy peace, we come to your manger, each of us, in the stillness of this night. We hear your newborn cry, the cry we have been waiting for. You come as a tiny light in a vast darkness, yet that fragile and flickering light changes the darkness completely. Meet us here at your manger. Meet us as a newborn child meets new parents, insisting that we make room for you, requiring that we reorder and center our lives around you, changing our lives forever. We pray in the name of our Savior Jesus, the light of the world, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, she treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. On Christmas Eve, in the year 1914, something quite extraordinary happened that many think is unlikely to ever happen again. On that day, hundreds of men sat huddled together in cold and muddy trenches, not far from the border between Belgium and France. They were hunkered down, some not more than 100 feet away from the equally muddy trenches of their sworn enemy. Fellow soldiers who wore a different uniform and spoke a different language, but who were as cold and as wet and as miserable as they were. It had been raining for weeks, but on that night the temperature had dropped, and a layer of frost covered the ground. It was the early days of World War I, and back home there had been talk of a possible truce over the Christmas holiday. In Britain, over 100 women had signed an open letter addressed to the women of Germany and Austria, calling on them to join together in urging their respective rulers to institute a ceasefire on Christmas Day. And in Rome, Pope Gregory also begged the warring countries to lay down their weapons, asking that the guns may fall silent at least upon the night the angels sing. But those who had the power to enact such a Christmas truce thought it was naive and unrealistic to do so. Instead, the British Army sent their soldiers extra food rations to lift up their spirits. And the German Army sent their soldiers Christmas trees to place outside their foxholes. So on that cold and frosty Christmas Eve on the Western Front, muffled footfalls broke the silence as the German soldiers emerged from their trenches and set up the small fir trees they had been given, decorating them with empty tin cans and candles. And as they lit the candles, sending these tiny flickers of light into the darkness, they began singing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm and all is bright." Then across the battlefield came a response from their enemy as the British soldiers began singing as well. "Round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace." The men continued to sing Christmas carols together into the night, and at daybreak on Christmas Day, one by one, soldiers on both sides crawled out of their trenches and met one another halfway to exchange Christmas greetings and small gifts, trading cigarettes and cognac and wine for bread and biscuits and ham. One soldier described a scene in which men snipped buttons off of each other's uniforms as souvenirs. They even organized an impromptu soccer game. And a British machine gunner, who was a barber back home, gave haircuts to enemy troops who knelt at his feet. One soldier wrote of this impromptu Christmas truce, "It was absolutely astounding, and if I had seen it on a screen in a cinema, I should have sworn that it was faked." Now, in reality, truces such as this were not all that uncommon during the early years of World War I, when entire battalions were deadlocked and hunkered down in adjacent trenches for months. During these truces, men would climb out of their trenches, bury their dead, and converse with the enemy openly. And at night, when they were safely back on their own sides, the men would often sing together in English, French, and German. Now, as the war dragged on, these peaceful truces happened less and less often. Commanding officers issued stern warnings against fraternizing with the enemy, and eventually orders came from above that ended the practice altogether. It was becoming evident that men who became familiar with one another were less likely to kill one another. And when the horrors of war descend upon us, we may ask, where is God? But I don't doubt that God was present when the guns went silent on that Christmas Eve. How else can we explain soldiers laying down their weapons to sing songs about the Prince of Peace coming into the world? Now, we may wonder what it is about this season of Christmas, with its songs that point to this familiar story of a child born in a manger. We may wonder what it is about this season that has the power to bring us out of our resentments out of our routines, out of our ruts, out of our rat race running that preoccupies us much of the rest of the year? Is it more than just the promises of this season? Is it more than just the anticipation of gifts given and received? Is it more than just the joy of spending time with family and friends? Is it more than just the food and the parties and the time off from school and work? Is it more than just the emotional and physical lift of a winter holiday that brings light and music and warmth into the darkened days of December? I do believe it is more than this. Regardless of what we make of Jesus' humble beginnings, and regardless of what we believe about this story of God becoming human in our world, there's something about this tale, about a special baby born on a special night, that captures us year after year. And the songs we sing that help us tell this story have much to do with that. Many of us grew up singing Christmas carols, the songs that we sing around this time of year about silent nights and harking angels and first Noels. And even as we sing them side by side with songs about jingling bells and decking halls and red-nosed reindeers, the songs we sang as children or as younger versions of ourselves made the story of Christmas come alive in a way that it might never had if we had simply heard the story read in church on Christmas Eve. Familiar songs have a way of doing that, as they entwine their way into our memories and become enmeshed in the experiences and emotions of the moments in which we heard them. We may hear a particular Christmas carol and be instantly transported back in time. We may see the handmade ornaments that hung on our grandmother's Christmas tree. We may smell the Christmas cookies cooking in our mother's kitchen. We may feel the roughness of our father's face against our cheek as he kisses us goodnight on Christmas Eve. We may remember the first Christmas with our spouse, or with our children, or with the boyfriend or girlfriend who we thought was the one, and who turned out to so not be the one. We also may recall the Christmas arguments, the Christmas disappointments, the Christmas despair that sets in when all around us people seem to be celebrating and we feel left out or out of sync or weighed down by this season of joy. And when we sing the songs of Christmas, we also remember those we have loved and have lost. Those who once sang those familiar songs with us, but have now gone on home to be with God. And singing those songs at this time of year has the bittersweet habit of bringing back the pain and the joy all over again. Now, Jesus' parents likely sang songs that were from their own tradition, that made the story of Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Esther come alive for them. And I imagine that Mary sang to Jesus as she rocked him in her arms, trying to keep him warm on that cold Bethlehem night. And I wonder if she sang him a lullaby based on her version of the Magnificat, the song she sang when she learned she was carrying the Savior of humankind within her. And she imagined all the wonderful and world-shaking things that he would do in his life. Mary and Joseph lived in a time that was not too unlike our own, as far removed as it may be. They lived in a time where too few had too much power, and the powerless had no voice or little voice to enact change. Where justice did not rain down like water. Instead, it trickled down in tiny droplets, just enough to wet the palates of the parched and give them hope that their God of love and mercy was still at their side. The song that Mary sang spoke of a world in which the floodgates of God's love and justice would be opened, washing away every tear and liberating us all from the inequities that benefit none of us in the long run. The song that Mary sang to her unborn child was not a new song. It had been sung before by another expectant mother, the mother of Samuel, as she imagined all the good things that her son would do in God's name. But to those who longed to hear it, it was a new song. It was a song that countered the chorus of despair that played over and over again in their minds and in their hearts. Countered it with a song of hope, a song of joy, a song of promise that God was coming into the world to make things right in the form of Jesus. A living, breathing example of how we might create a more loving, compassionate, and grace-filled world by being more loving, compassionate, grace-filled people. So every year we come together to sing these songs of joy and hope and remind ourselves joyfully that there are many in our world who are singing and living these songs year round, not just when the calendar turns over into December. So will there ever come a time when sworn enemies will step out of their trenches and extend a hand of peace to those on the other side? I believe with all of my being that it can and will happen again. Because the song and spirit of Christmas lives within us. And I have the joyful work of reminding you of this year after year. The spirit of Christmas lives within each one of you. You carry that silent night, that holy night, wherever you go. No matter how old you are, how faithful you are, or how Christian you are. So remember that. You have the power to sing a new song and change the world as you do it. Thanks be to God, for Jesus Christ is born today, and amen.
in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As we're talking about the gifts of the wise ones, I'd like to share with you this poem by the late great theologian, the Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. Here it goes. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. The evening's offering will be given and dedicated.
Still, still, still.
join me in the prayer of dedication. Thank you, God, for coming to us in a human life so expressive of love that 2,000 years have not extinguished the flame. May that love burn so brightly in us that its light will spread. Use our offerings to ignite in the world such caring and compassion that all your children may know joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gracious and loving God, it may seem naive in a world of grief to choose to live in joy. It may seem foolish in a world where somberness has power to sing and dance to a different tune. It may seem misguided in a world of suffering and injustice to speak of light and celebration. But you have come to us, O God, in Christ Jesus, to bring joy into our grief, singing into our mourning, light into our darkness. And it is an act of healing and radical proclamation to believe and embrace the joy you offer to us all. So we sing out, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Alleluia, alleluia, amen. People of God, on this Christmas Eve, we go out into the world in peace. May we take the light of Christ with us wherever we may go, into the parks of our life not yet guided by love, into the parks of the world untouched by grace. Let hope and compassion be the forces that move and guide us. And may Christ be born in us tonight, in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.